Informing America's farmers and ranchers. This is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Thanks for being with us here on the program today. We got a good one lined up for you. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Today's AOA brought to you by Cenex. Cenex can help you determine the right high-quality premium lubricants to keep equipment protected for the long haul. Trust your local experts at Cenex or visit Cenex.com for more information. Coming up here in segment three today, we're going to have a conversation with Jeff Cooper from the Renewable Fuels Association. We've had that delay now to the GREET modeling, looking at sustainable aviation fuel and the tax credits and more. And I know Jeff was on the ground for that announcement last week at Commodity Classic in Houston that they were going to be delaying things. So we're going to get his perspective on where that situation stands and more ethanol biofuel related news coming up here after the bottom of the hour. Ahead of that, we're going to have a conversation with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. We're going to get an update on the appropriations process. Secretary Vilsack was on Capitol Hill last week, and I know Senator Grassley and others pressed the secretary on a few different issues. So we're going to have a conversation with Chuck Grassley coming up here in segment two today. First up, though, let's take a look at what is moving in the markets. Happy to have Dwayne Bussey with Bolt Marketing join us here on AOA today. Dwayne, it's good to talk with you again. Hope all is well in your neck of the woods there in Northeast South Dakota.
Yeah, absolutely. No, thanks for having me, Jesse. I'm just, happy to be here. I had some technical issues. So like you said, very happy to be here and logged in.
Well, glad we got you here on the show, because I'd love to get your perspective on where things sit right now in these markets. Fairly quiet Tuesday in corn and soybean trade. You know, a lot of this action has started to roll off those March contracts now to the May contracts and quarter beans. And really just your 1,000-foot view perspective, what are you hearing from folks? What are you seeing in terms of just fundamentally, these markets haven't really changed. We've pulled back off of some of the lows, it feels like, but now it kind of just seems like these markets are going sideways again on us, Dwayne.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, Jesse. But overall, I like this market structure. You know, we had the March option expiration force new lows in corn and soybeans, right? But, you know, we're already 20 cents off those lows when it comes to May corn. But I think what you saw yesterday at the highs is an increase in farmer selling going on. I know the phone started ringing here about, hey, I've got some cash corn at this location, that location, I'd like to sell it. And I think that's great. Go ahead. We got to stop some storage and interest costs, obviously. But because of that, you probably do see a high in the corn market. Then we pull back a little bit and hopefully find some more buying interest. You know, funds got out of a lot of short positions, 45,000 contracts last week. That's a good sign. I think I can say with fair confidence that I think the lows are in. But to your point, it doesn't mean we have the bullish story to just make a V bottom and have this beautiful upward trend every producer would like to see out there.
Well, and I seasonally, too, I feel like these markets tend to have some of their spring rallies, but I wonder how much of a spring rally we could really see. I know the interest rate environment's still not great. A lot of farmers are still very undersold on corn, both in the U.S. and in Brazil. And, you know, just looking at this market as a whole, we got a lot of supply out there. It feels like it's kind of weighing on not only old crop, but also some thoughts, you know, could be maybe weighing on new crop prices a little bit too, Dwayne.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned, you know, South America. Obviously, we've got big crops out there, and China's been a good buyer here recently. Sadly, it doesn't seem like it's been a lot from the U.S., but they must be buying from Brazil. Their basis is getting better for soybeans last couple weeks, another 10 cent improvement last week. That's a very good sign of a couple things. One, there's probably global export demand, and a couple things, other things might be that one, maybe the Brazil farmer isn't interested in selling at this price, which would be undercutting us. So that's good. Or maybe the crop isn't as big as we thought down there. Either way, as that basis improves, we get a little bit more competitive. You know, it's good. We're not going to run out of crops. You know, the great bull cycle's done until we have a weather scare in the U.S. again. But, demand is picking up, and hopefully it's from the big buyer, China.
I want to ask you about the wheat markets too, especially Kansas City wheat's kind of been trying to be our upside leader here as of late, and just watching some of that spread activity between March and May, KC wheat here the last couple of sessions been pretty interesting. I know there's very little open interest in that March contract, but commercials have been maybe scooping up some of that cheaper HRW wheat here. But overall, your thoughts on this wheat market as a whole, and could it potentially be an upside leader here in the grains?
Boy, I sure hope so. A lot of times wheat does end up being that longer trade, you know, upside mover, you know, either on the downside or the upside. I think this was kind of later showing us that corn and soybeans were going to go down earlier last year. When I step back and think of the wheat complex in general, I feel like funds are ready to get out of some of their short positions at least. And that's why we're finding buying interest at the contract lows. The problem is the global prices, you know, European wheat, Russia, Ukraine and Russia combined just had a record export number for the month of February. If you combine their two business, like say Europe prices are at lows. Australia is saying if we get the moisture we think we're going to have a big crop. So I think the funds are tired of being short maybe a little bit, but I don't think I've got the bullish story about like the other grains to get them out of short positions and rally this market. But you know, winter wheat conditions were down yesterday when it was reported for Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas. And obviously with the wildfires, people are kind of realizing that we're still in a drought situation. So yeah, if that could snowball a little bit, we have to remember our domestic wheat supplies are fairly low compared to previous years. We could lead us out of this, but you're going to need more stories than what I've got for you today.
Well, overall, I know many folks are maybe not thrilled with having to sell some grain on hand here at some of these price levels or forward marketing the new crop, but is this a window where folks should really think about getting some floors locked in place in some of these grain markets, Duane?
I don't know if they need floors right here, I guess, you know, famous last words. I hope it's not. I hope this isn't the low. I look at it, the big picture of funds being record short corn and soybeans and obviously very short wheat as well, going into a U.S. growing season. And I just think, wow, that's got to make me lean a little bit friendly to the market. You know, could we end up at these low prices by fall? Absolutely, if we have a big crop. But, you know, I don't think the managed funds have ever been short the corn market for a full calendar year. And you know, records are made to be broken, but just because of being short going into our new crop year and Iowa being as dry as it is, just makes me think we're going to see better prices. But if we do have that weather scare, I'm kind of hoping and praying happens, we do need to be sellers of that this year, because we do got to remember our old crop supplies that are still out there that sadly will be reminded as farmers sell all summer long.
30 seconds on cattle. Do you got your bullhorns on still here, Duane?
The bullhorns are still on. They've been trimmed a little bit though. It's the fundamental side, you know, the cash side for feeders, the cash index is struggling to get through that 250 mark. And obviously April out at 256 and a half is a little bit too much of a premium if the cash can't come. But I think supplies are still very tight. So yes, I do still have bullhorns on.
All right. Duane Bussey with Bolt Marketing. Duane, always good to talk with you. Folks can find you at boltmarketingllc.com. Thanks for joining us on AOA. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me, Jesse.
All right, coming up next on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Lubricants and Premium Diesel. We'll talk with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley on the way next here on AOA.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
The landscape of media has changed, and people are more skeptical than ever about where they get their news and information. While major news outlets show decreasing credibility, your local farm radio station still shows strong marks. In a recent survey, farmers rated information from their farm broadcasters as almost twice as reliable as major news outlets. Farm radio continues to be transparent, honest, and trustworthy. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel. Joining us now on the program, Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley is with us. And Senator Grassley, thanks for being back with us here on Agriculture of America. How are you, sir?
Well, I feel very good. I say that as a Senator Chuck Grassley, but that doesn't mean that I'm very satisfied with the way things are getting done in Washington, and more importantly, what isn't getting done.
Well, a lot of things that I want to ask you about in that regard, and why don't we start with the appropriations process? I know it sounds like we're trying to reach some compromises ahead of a shutdown cliff on Friday. Will we see a shutdown this Friday? What's the latest you could tell us about the appropriations process, Senator?
Well, evidently on six appropriation bills between Republican House, Democrat Senate, there's been reached an agreement that should make these bills easily pass this week so that government won't be shut down. Now, that takes care of about 30 or 40% of the funding of the federal government. We still have a deadline, I think it's March 28th, in regard to the other six appropriation bills. And that will be, they still are being worked on between the leaders of the House and Senate Appropriations Committee. I'm not a member of the Appropriations Committee, so obviously I have to use secondary methods of giving people my ideas on what money should be spent for or not be spent for. And I exercise those rights that I have usually by letters to the chairman of the committee. But at this point, it's probably between those two people negotiating those agreements. And that would be for a majority of the funding of the federal government, yeah, maybe about 60%.
Senator, let's talk year-round E15. I know EPA has approved the Midwest Governor's petition, but say it won't go into effect until 2025. You're leading the Iowa delegation, calling on the Biden administration to issue a waiver for the 2024 driving season. Talk about that for us a little bit.
Well, we've been fighting this, not having E15 during the summer for too long of a time. I don't know whether it's been 15, 20 years. And we've been successful the last 2 years to have the president step in and do it. Now, what the EPA did was a good thing. They were responding to governors led by Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds to make E15 year-round nationwide, and they approved that, but approved that for starting in 2025. So there was a letter from our delegation last week to EPA that has the authority to do it for now, but I felt we ought to do like we did in 22 and 23, write to the President of the United States highlighting this as a very important issue. And so I led the letter that the delegation sent to the president. We did the same thing in 2023. So we hope he'll do it, because it's stupid to say that you can do it from 25 into the future, as far as you can see, and not do it for 24.
And EPA did take their sweet time to get that done, I think some 500 days. So we'll continue to watch that situation. I know last week, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack was on Capitol Hill in a Senate Ag Committee hearing, and he was asked about a lot of different issues. Could you share some of the things that you pressed Secretary Vilsack on during that hearing, Senator Grassley?
Yeah, the regulation that he's putting out for making more clear how he's going to enforce the Packers and Stockyards Act. I compliment, one of those regulations came out this morning, and I read a summary of it, and I think the regulations are headed in the right direction. Actually, probably the regulations shouldn't have been necessary, because I think the law, the spirit of the law, is in these regulations. It just makes more clear to everybody what the U.S. Department of Agriculture expects. And by the way, you know, there was an attempt in the appropriations process to put a rider on the appropriation bills, kind of modifying the Packers and Stockyards Act to satisfy the enforcement of it to the tune that's called by the big four packers. But Tester and I sent a letter to the appropriators, and I'm sure there was other support for this, to make sure that that rider wasn't in the appropriation bill. And I can tell you today, it wasn't in the appropriation bill. So the point being that the Packers and Stockyards Act will be more uniformly and clearly carried out. So I followed up on that, because there was some circuit court opinions that seemed to curb what Vilsack could do. So he has to write these regulations according to it. And reading the regulation today, I don't think the court opinion had much to do with it. There's one other thing that I think falls into the area of regulation that I'm going to bring up to you, and that is the Greek model for sustainable aviation fuel. Mm-hmm. That's been delayed now, and I don't know why it was delayed, but it's going to make it more difficult to have predictability on investment and what it might curb the farmers from doing. And the delay hurts farmers and investment, and it's too bad, and I don't know why it was delayed. But you're going to have the feedstocks that come from corn and soybeans through the ethanol plant to get this advanced sustainable aviation fuel. And it seems to me that environmentalists want to clean up the environment coming from airplanes. And this advanced sustainable aviation fuel will do that. And I don't think if you don't include the grains and the ethanol process as feedstock. There's not enough other feedstock to produce what needs to be produced. So it seems to me that on one hand, environmentalists want to clean it up, and seems on the other hand, they got their fingers in this delay.
No, and I'm glad you brought up the great delay. I was going to ask about that. We will move on. Good points there on that side of the equation. I want to ask you as well. It was announced on Friday in Houston, Texas, at Commodity Classic that EPA is launching the first ever EPA Office of Agriculture and Rural Affairs. Do you see that office being beneficial to America's farmers and ranchers, Senator Grassley?
Well, we won't really know until it gets set up and see what approach they're taking. But if they're doing it because of what Kerry said about we got to change our agriculture very dramatically, in particular animal agriculture, and they're set up for that purpose, I would say that is a red flag for American agriculture. And we need to, at this point, I'm not going to say anything because I don't know what direction they're taking. But if they're taking that direction, we're going to have to watch and fight it dramatically, because it's a direction that's going to take us to eating leaves and bugs instead of our regular red meat. And it's disgusting.
One final thing, Senator Grassley, Proposition 12. Do we think there could be a congressional solution to Proposition 12 still sometime here this year? What's the latest on that?
Well, you're asking if a bill that's sponsored by Senator Marshall and me and Ernst and a few others will pass, and we call that the EATS Act. It would override Proposition 12. But getting it up as a separate bill, I think, is virtually impossible. And we were hoping to put it in the farm bill. And if we don't have a farm bill, we don't have that act. So I'm very pessimistic about getting the EATS Act passed and overriding the California Proposition 12 so that it doesn't hurt Iowa pork producers, number one state in the nation producing pork, and they're already losing $30 per head. We don't need to have them hit by not being able to sell their pork in California that consumes about 15% of the pork eaten in the United States.
Well, always generous with your time. We do appreciate it very much. Senator Chuck Grassley, thanks for joining us on AOA. Senator, have a fantastic rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.
Same deal. Goodbye.
Once again, Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Greases and Lubricants. Find more at cenex.com. Up next, we'll talk with Jeff Cooper for the Renewable Fuels Association here on AOA.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, where we take a close look at the benefits of cooperative ownership. Every week, we'll host a new guest and discuss how you can get the most from working with your local cooperative. And we'll learn why farmers and ranchers just like you choose cooperatives to help them persevere and prosper. Tune in each Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more. You're listening to AOA. Here's a check of the market trade action on this Tuesday. Jesse Allen with you here for the American Ag Network. Let's take a look at things. Kind of quiet in the grain and oilseed trade, moderately lower, led down by the wheat complex, along with a little pressure here in soybeans as we work through our early rounds. Not much in the way of fresh news to really seemingly drive these markets here as we get going with our session. Watching outside market stock futures pulled back a bit overnight, and we are holding there, down almost 200 points in the Dow Jones, down a little over 200 points in the NASDAQ, and also down slightly in S&P futures. Crude oil down just 12 cents a barrel, 78.62. The VIX trading near 14, and also the dollar index trading near 104. Chinese economic reforms emerging from central planners, here is something we're keeping an eye on as well. That could impact the outside markets. And again, grains and oilseeds mostly weaker here as we get going with our Tuesday session and work through our morning. Still watching fundamentals that haven't really changed in many of these markets. A lot of managed money and funds continue to be at or near record short in a lot of these grain contracts. Kansas City wheat has been an upside leader, but kind of reversing back just a little bit. That spread trade between March and May, KC wheat has been interesting with the March contract. Not much open interest left there. Commercials, though, have been trying to scoop up some of that cheap HRW wheat. We do see corn kind of hover around that 425, 430 mark in the May contract. Beans in the May contract around that 1150 mark. Finding a little bit of strength in cattle and hog futures early on Tuesday's session as well, after especially the cattle trade, we consolidated quite a bit on Monday's session. So overall, kind of mixed sideways tones there. And again, just kind of seeing mixed action to slightly lower in grains. This is AOA for the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen.
Now, we tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But sometimes we don't see what's right in front of us. Victory over cancer is in front of us. Right now, cancer research is saving lives. Cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to new discoveries and new treatments, and ultimately, one day, victory over cancer. Give to the V Foundation. Right now, one out of every two men and one out of every three women will get cancer in their lifetime. Now is your moment. You may save someone you love. 100% of your donation goes directly to game-changing research. 100%. Donate at V.org. Because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Downtime is a waste. Keep your equipment running smoothly by using high-quality Cenex premium diesel fuel. Learn more at cenex.com. Well, joining us now for a conversation, I was able to have a quick sidebar convo with him last week during Commodity Classic in Houston, Texas, but I'm glad we saved our conversation for today. He is the president and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. Jeff Cooper is with us here on AOA. Jeff, it's great to talk with you again. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me this morning, Jesse. It was good to see you last week. I think we were both running 100 miles an hour and in opposite directions, so it's good to have a chance to catch up this morning.
Yeah, I agree. I know. I think I was probably running about 200 miles an hour, it felt like, last week, Jeff. But glad we could connect here today on the show. And, you know, between our sidebar convo and now, we've had some news, obviously. On Friday, the news came out that the GREET modeling was going to be delayed. They were not going to meet the March 1st deadline. And then I know you had a conversation in the RFA booth after Secretary Vilsack, Administrator Regan from the EPA were on stage at Commodity Classic to talk about that issue and other topics. So let's just start with the GREET modeling for sustainable aviation fuel. Why the delay? What are you hearing? What's the latest surrounding this whole situation?
Well, yeah, Jesse, we were fortunate to catch up with both Administrator Regan from EPA and Secretary Vilsack after they spoke to Commodity Classic attendees last Friday, and to drill a little deeper on what's the holdup and what is the reason that we still don't have this modified GREET model that was promised back in December. You might remember we were sort of, you know, anxiously awaiting some resolution and clarity all the way back in December on the SAF tax credit. And they told us in December, well, we still have some changes we need to make to the GREET model. We're going to get after it and make sure those changes are done and made by March 1st. No later than that. That date's not going to slip. We'll have a new model out, so you will know at that time whether corn ethanol-based sustainable aviation fuels might have a shot at qualifying for the tax credit under the Inflation Reduction Act. So very important issue. And, you know, March 1st was Friday, and it came and went, and we still don't have that model. Really what it boils down to, and Secretary Vilsack laid this out both in his public comments and then again to a smaller group on the trade show floor, you know, they still have work to do, and specifically around how to incorporate ag practices into this new model, and how to ensure that this modified GREET model as accurately as possible reflects what is happening in agriculture today when it comes to crop production. So that's taken longer than anybody expected or hoped for, but they want to make sure they get it right. And we want to make sure they get it right too, because this is the stakes are too high to mess this up. So if it takes another several weeks or another month to get this right, you know, that's going to be better than rushing out a model that's full of holes and just creates more problems than it does solutions. So that's sort of where we're at. Had a great discussion with both Secretary Vilsack and the administrator, and hopefully we're on the right track and we'll see something soon.
I think to your point about getting everything lined up in terms of crop production and the feedstocks and et cetera, you know, I know there's a lot of talk about, you know, climate smart commodities and carbon programs and carbon sequestration and things like that, and getting some of those carbon CI scores to a certain level. It feels like those are many of the things that are trying to be finalized here. Would you agree with that, Jeff?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Jesse. And right now, or I guess historically, the GREET model has done a pretty decent job of reflecting what's happening at the aggregate level nationally with crop production practices. But the data is always, you know, lags by a couple of years, and it isn't real time. And so, you know, we have been advocating for the past couple of years, and certainly Secretary Vilsack and USDA and others have been advocating, that if we're going to be basing tax credits on carbon intensity scores, we need to get those CI scores right. And that means better understanding and better reflecting what is truly happening on the farm. So that's a big piece of what's going on right now, is how best to integrate what we know is happening with tillage practices, what we know is happening with cover crops, what we know is happening with more efficient fertilization technologies and practices, you know, irrigation, energy use, all of those things. You know, they're trying to update and bring the current state of the science into this model to reflect those practices that we know are happening on the farm today, but haven't always been properly characterized in the GREET model in the past. And it's just, you know, it's a big job. It's a lot of work to do that, and it's taken them a little longer than expected.
Well, we'll continue to keep our eyes on what happens with the GREET model, and we'll hopefully get a resolution there soon. I want to turn our attention to another hot-button issue, E15, year-round E15. And we just had that EPA announcement that they're going to implement the 8 Midwestern governors petition year-round E15 sales, but in 2025. So now a lot of folks are calling on the administration to grant another waiver for the summer driving season here in 2024 for year-round E15. What is the latest, your perspective on this whole situation we have surrounding E15, Jeff?
Well, it's another frustration for the industry. We have been at this for over a decade now, trying to, in our view, get a very simple fix across the goal line that would allow consumers to access lower cost, lower carbon E15 all year long. And it's proven to be quite a challenge. We did get some good news recently that, yes, EPA is finally approving that petition from those 8 states. in the Midwest that will allow those states at least to offer E15 year-round to their consumers and residents. But we still have a situation where there's 42 other states that don't have a year-round solution for E15. And so we're going to have to continue to work on that. And as you pointed out, even the 8-state solution isn't going to be effective until 2025. So we're in a situation now where we're a few months away from summer 2024, and there's no clarity, no certainty on whether retailers will be able to continue selling E15 throughout the summer this year. Now we've heard Secretary Vilsack and others say, well, you know, we expect EPA will grant emergency waivers to allow continued uninterrupted sales of E15 like they've done the past couple of years. But until that happens, you know, it's not a sure thing, and it's hard for a retailer to bank on that until it's actually a done deal. So we are pushing the administration again to announce as soon as possible what their plans are for getting through the summer of 2024 driving season and hopefully allowing E15.
Well, I know as well, you brought up the other states that don't have that solution. I think about, for instance, California. They have their low carbon fuel standard that they've proposed some amendments on, things like that. And just wondering here, could we get a permanent fix for all 50 states potentially to get year-round E15? Because back to what you said earlier, I mean, this is something that we've been working on for a long time here, Jeff, and it just feels like, you know, E10 has been widely adopted. It feels like it's time for E15.
It is. It's past time. And again, we're not talking about mandating that anyone sell E15. We're just talking about allowing the marketplace and allowing retailers to offer that fuel and allowing consumers to choose it. And we've seen plenty of evidence that when they're given that choice, they're going to reach for the nozzle that sells E15. So yes, we are doggedly pursuing a permanent nationwide solution, but that's going to take legislation. And if you haven't noticed recently, Congress is not doing a great job of legislating these days, especially when it comes to new issues like this. I mean, they're having a hard enough time just funding the government and getting appropriations done. So we are, you know, again, aggressively pursuing that legislative fix. There's been a bill introduced in the Senate that we strongly support. And guess what? It also has the support of the American Petroleum Institute and fuel retailers and farm groups and many others, because they all understand, like we do, that a nationwide permanent solution is preferable to a patchwork where you've got different states doing their own thing. But you know, in the absence of a federal nationwide solution, we're going to be working with those states that are tired of waiting around on the feds to take care of this and want to act on their own. So that's sort of the dynamic we find ourselves in with E15, and it remains a challenge and a frustration, but we're going to keep after it.
Jeff, got about 30 seconds. Anything final you would want to share or reiterate with us that you're watching right now at the Renewable Fuels Association?
Well, I mean, these are the big ones, of course. You know, the right behind the sustainable aviation fuel tax credit, there's another important tax credit coming down the pike that we're expecting some guidance on. That's called the clean fuel production credit. Going to be many of the same issues involved with life cycle analysis and carbon scoring, and that's why getting it right now is so dang important for our industry. So we'll keep you posted on how that all transpires.
Well, we look forward to that. Folks can find more as well, ethanolrfa.org. We've been talking with Renewable Fuels Association President and CEO Jeff Cooper. Jeff, as always, thanks for joining us on AOA. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good, Jesse. Thank you.
All right, Jeff Cooper there from the Renewable Fuels Association here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel. Learn more at cenex.com. We'll take a look at news headlines on the way right after the break.
Thank you. In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And my electrical was deemed unsafe. And I was about to lose homeowner's insurance as well. I didn't really know where to go in order to get help. And so I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. They've really been a blessing. Operation Homefront is a safety net. A lot of veterans, they fall through the cracks sometimes. And Operation Homefront, they catch us. It's been a blessing to us. It's a blessing to other veteran families. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us and want to see us do well and want to see us succeed. And we feel it and we appreciate that. I would say you guys are angels behind closed doors.
Visit OperationHomefront.org to learn more.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Around the Table, where we explore the benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, Isaac Efforts, a seed improvement specialist with CHS, will discuss soybean seed treatment strategies. Isaac, soybeans will be planted soon. How could the right seed treatment help give the crop a good start?
Well, to get the right seed treatment, you need a well-balanced approach. And to get a well-balanced approach, you need to protect against diseases, your pests like insects, or what's coming now is a lot of soybean cyst nematodes. And now we are working with nematicides. So the best way to get a good start is to kind of combine that all into one seed treatment. So making sure you have a balanced approach is definitely the best way to go.
Isaac, what customized seed treatments are available for soybeans?
Well, with our SDI Customize, we have 10 plus active ingredients and fungicides, and two of them specifically for our water mold protection in Pythium and Phytophthora. And the reason that's so important is that the chemistries used to control these type of diseases have been around since the 80s. So the development of resistance and with limited chemistries, it's going to cause lots of issues. But now we have added an active called ethoboxam to help protect against some of these resistant species. So having that to combine with your soybean protection plan with different insecticides and different nematicides of people that they can choose from, a different variety that we can offer, along with your plant health options for plant growth regulators for stress tolerance, and also micronutrients for people that want to have a little bit of zinc in their seed treatments.
What benefits will growers see with customized seed treatments?
You can tailor for your region. So the people that maybe don't have soybean cyst nematode up in my neck of the woods in North Dakota, they can maybe focus more on the disease spectrum and add another fungicide, or maybe focus more on the stress tolerance with planting in the cold soils and go with a plant growth regulator. What comes along with that benefits is a nice even emergence. And along with that, it just gives you your highest potential for achieving yields.
Once again, that's Isaac Efforts with CHS joining us Around the Table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
AOA today brought to you by our friends at Cenex. Downtime is a waste. Keep your equipment running smoothly by using high-quality Cenex premium diesel fuel. Learn more. Just trust your local experts at your nearest Cenex location or visit Cenex.com for more information. Thanks for sticking with us here on AOA. Let's take a look at news headlines here before we run out of time and wrap things up here on today's program. Of course, we are watching what is happening on Capitol Hill. It's great to talk with Senator Chuck Grassley earlier in the show and get his thoughts on where things stand with the spending bills and more. And of course, the spending fight, we're continuing to watch and see if they can avert the first shutdown cliff in front of us here on Friday. Now, the compromise USDA-FDA spending bill headed for those House and Senate votes this week to avert the next partial shutdown pairs the president's request but drops several GOP demands. It's less than President Biden asked for, but more for some USDA agencies and feeding programs like WIC, less for others like SNAP, and no GOP abortion pill rider, the demise of the House version. Here's House Speaker Mike Johnson.
It's been a long road to get here. This is a bipartisan agreement in the end, but it sticks to the numbers. The agreement on spending, it does not go above that. It will increase a bit, defense spending, but there will be real cuts to non-defense discretionary spending.
Almost $3 billion less than the president's USDA-FDA ask, including small cuts from fiscal year 23 to FSA, NRCS, APHIS, and the Ag Marketing Service, but more for FSIS, meat inspections, and emergency loans due to higher interest rates. There's $90 million for Reconnect Broadband and more for child nutrition, but no USDA pay hikes or major new D.C. hires. While foreign buys of U.S. farmland get better tracking and USDA secretary involvement, but after fiscal year 24 bills, it's on to fiscal 25.
Turn the page on FY24 and get immediately into FY25. And that process, to change the way that's done, to back it up on the calendar, to do everything we can to get that job done by end of summer so that we're not coming up at the end of September, the end of the fiscal year, and having to talk about CRs and omnibuses and everything.
But what about a farm bill? American Farm Bureau's Emily Buckman ahead of this week's spending bill votes.
Our main priority this year is to get a farm bill across the finish line. And unless these funding bills are addressed, the government is funded in full, then that'll just delay consideration.
Lawmakers are still negotiating six remaining bills, including defense, ahead of the next shutdown cliff on March 22nd. Well, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association on Monday called on lawmakers to pass the minibus appropriations package that was announced over the weekend by congressional leadership. The bill prevents a government shutdown and supports several key cattle industry priorities. NCBA President Mark Isley says, quote, "While this legislation is not perfect, it advances a number of priorities important to cattle producers, including critical investments in electronic animal ID tags for producers and strengthening oversight of lab-grown protein," end quote. The Department of Agriculture is crafting a rule requiring electronic ID tags instead of existing metal tags on certain classes of cattle moving interstate. This change is designed to facilitate faster traceability in case of a foreign animal disease outbreak in the United States. If the rule is finalized, NCBA will support USDA in covering the entire cost of electronic ID tags for impacted producers. Additionally, NCBA supports greater oversight of emerging lab-grown technology. Well, speaking at the 2024 American Farmers and Ranchers Convention in Oklahoma City, National Farmers Union President Rob LaRue talked about current NFU priorities and more. LaRue was recently appointed to the White House Advisory Committee for Trade Policy and says he's looking forward to being a voice for farmers and ranchers.
The appointment by the president to have family farmer and rancher voice on this, because this is not just an ag trade advisory group, but is actually for trade policy here in the U.S., and any of the trade negotiations that are going on. So I think it's hopefully a good sign that they want to make sure that that ag voice is in there, that the farmer voice is there. And I look forward to be able to help out.
Meanwhile, LaRue says time is running out to get a farm bill completed this year.
just the dysfunction in D.C. right now, everybody sees it, right? You have the budget fights and so forth. And you also have here in an election year, a small window of time, I think, where folks still want to get things done if they can here in the next couple months. But time is running out to get a farm bill done this year. And of course, you know, there are already predictions that we might see changes in the House and the Senate. What an impact does that have on a farm bill or anything else? A lot of questions right now out of D.C., more than usual, I would say.
Now that the 2022 Census of Agriculture data has been released, LaRue said some of the trends are positive, but one negative part of the release is the fact that farmers, on average, are getting older.
And some of that's probably just the natural course of things, but from Farmers Union's point of view, our members want to make sure that we're not artificially driving farms to just keep getting bigger and bigger, that we still are able to support our communities, and that farmers of a family size can have a fair shake in the marketplace and don't have to get, you know, extraordinarily large out there. That said, one of the positive things that are coming out of that is that we're seeing beginning kind of recognition of women that are in agriculture. I think that's a really positive thing, and we're beginning to see an uptick in some younger farmers as well.
LaRue also emphasized the importance of succession plans so that the future of agriculture can be a successful one.
And it's not just about making sure that we're going to have farmers to grow the food and so forth. Somebody will step into that. You'll have, you know, big monopolies, you know, farming the land if we have to. I think it's really about going back to those communities. And are we going to have enough folks in and around these communities to keep small businesses in town, to keep the schools operating so that we can keep families in those towns and want to raise in a life in a rural setting like we all enjoy?
And LaRue says regarding the upcoming NFU convention in Scottsdale, Arizona on March 10th and 12th, there will be panel discussions about the farm bill and connecting with those in agriculture to solve challenges in rural communities and more. Again, that is comments with NFU President Rob LaRue. Well, we are about out of time here today on AOA. Brought to you again by our friends at Cenex. Not all grease is created equal. Cenex premium greases are made with high-quality ingredients to provide durable protection. Learn more at Cenex.com. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we're going to get an update on the devastating wildfires impacting parts of the southwestern plains. Texas Farm Bureau President Russell Boehning will join us for a conversation. We'll also hear about how we can possibly help with donations to their relief fund. We're going to have the March episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association. We'll also talk with Rachel Snyderman from the Bipartisan Policy Center, get an update on where appropriations bills stand on Capitol Hill. We're out of time here on AOA. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
Wheat growers of the North, it's time to push performance to answer the call of Westbred wheat. With regionally proven varieties like WB9590 and WB9479 with high protein, yield potential, and standability. Trust Westbred wheat to help you get the most out of every acre. Now's the time. Boldly grow. Seize the season with Westbred wheat. Performance may vary. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
When it comes to cereal disease protection, Prosaro Pro 400 SC fungicide from Bayer makes all the difference. With three effective active ingredients for overlapping control of foliar and head diseases, and a flexible application window for head scab, it's formulated to lower DON, protect yield potential, and promote superior grain quality. Prosaro Pro. The future of plant health starts here. Visit ProsaroPro.com to learn more. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Teachers are dynamic leaders, shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Achieving this takes skill and expertise. They're tireless explorers, creatively discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, experimenting, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, and connecting with each other. Leading by example. Experience the unique joy of helping students thrive. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready to begin? Explore teaching at teach.org, a campaign supported by the U.S. Department of Education,
teach.org and 1 million teachers of color.